Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, bring our hearts, our minds, Lord, and at times crazy lives, Lord, busy schedules. And Lord, we ask you to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, Lord. It's so hard to settle ourselves down, Lord, but we know you can do it because we want to be still before you tonight. We want to know that you're God. And we just pray that our hearts would be open to your touch tonight, Lord, that we'd be able to receive from you what we need. Lord, thank you that these are good men you've brought here tonight. Good men that you're doing a great work in. Pray you bless them, their homes, their marriages, their children. And that just tonight, Lord, that you just bless us with your word and with your presence, Lord. Oh, we just ask for your presence to be amongst us strong tonight, Jesus. We ask for you to supply us with the encouragement, the hope, redirection, anything that we might need in our lives, Lord. We just want to open up our heart to what you want to speak to us, Lord. Give us an ear to hear what your Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can kick it off. I did the intro with Dana.
Nice. Got me in the spirit. So 1 Samuel chapter 3.
Yeah, that's where we'll be.
Josephus says that Samuel here is probably around 12 years old. And it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. I remember, you know, Samuel, 12 years old, and I've probably shared this before, you've probably heard me. It was August 7th, 2001, Calvary Chapel, Finger Lakes. A young boy was in Sunday school. The whole third grade class was told to draw a picture, and they all drew pictures of birds and trees and crosses and flowers, and this boy drew two buildings with airplanes flying into them, and the teacher was thinking, you know, what's wrong with this little kid? You know, what third grader? What's he thinking, drawing this picture? And you know. Less than 4 weeks later, those planes fly into the Twin Towers, you know. He even had emblems and symbols on there that you'd see on pictures from the Twin Towers. Just amazing if we're open. And sometimes, you know, Jesus said to come into the kingdom, you need to be as little children, you know, innocent, trusting in God. And the way a child would trust his dad, you know, is it safe here, Dad? Is it okay to swim here? Is it okay? And sometimes children are the easiest to reach because they're so trusting. And that's why Jesus said, if you stumble one of these children, it'd be better if a millstone was hung around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea than to stumble one of these little, because it's easy to stumble a child. And amazing that Samuel's 12 years old, and we're going to see that he's going to hear God's voice. He's going to be open and sensitive to enough to hear God and what he's speaking. And it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. And the climate of the day is everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Everyone was doing what they felt like they wanted to do. You know, people weren't holding on, adhering to the word of God, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. People were just, it was kind of lawless. People were making up their own rules. And God is raising up, the priesthood's corrupt, and God is raising up a priest prophet here that is going to glorify him and honor him. And, you know, in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, his whole design was to have fellowship with people, you know, and that was broken and severed, and that fellowship was severed, and now, you know, through the cross, you know, obviously the cross, Jesus hadn't come yet, but God is restoring fellowship and wants to speak to people. And the number one primary way that he speaks to you and I is the word of God. I think it's 138, said he exalts his word above his very name. And it's a living book. I remember going to, especially when I first got saved, just coming to the Lord and bringing all this baggage and stuff with me, you know, relationships and all this stuff that I thought, man, what's church going to do for me? I was close to getting saved. And I remember going to church and thinking, who called the pastor and told him I was coming? You know, that's how the word of God spoke to me. And that's what it's supposed to do, rise off the page. And I've had people, you know, I shared on a Sunday and, man, did my friend call you and tell you I was coming? You know, because the Bible is alive and it's able to speak right to us. And it's specific. And God uses his word to speak to us and talk to us, his people. And it says that there was no, the word of God was rare. It was precious or rare in those days that people weren't in the Bible. People weren't reading the word. It wasn't premier in their lives. Paul told Timothy the importance of the word. He says, Timothy, preach the word. You know, teach the word of God. It's what somebody asked me, you know, I went to somebody's church one time and they said, hey, how was it? You know, what do you think? And I remember thinking, you know what? Sheep need to be fed and not entertained. They need to be taught the word of God, not fluff, not just entertained and, you know, told great stories and funny, you know, have a little joke in between. People need to know what the Bible says because it's God's word. And it speaks right to you and right to me. And you know, Jeff and I will teach here. Jeff teaches on a Sunday morning. And I'll come away. You know, Lee and I will talk after a Sunday morning or whatever, or listening to a message. And, you know, she'll say, Mom, wasn't it great that Jeff said this? Or I'm like, I don't even remember him saying that. I remember him saying this, you know, because God's got a message for every single person. And it may be a little different. That something that Jeff shares, might be a little different than exactly what the next person sitting next to you is thinking. And his word is simple. God's not bipolar when he gives us his word and he tells us to do something. I remember when I first got saved, I had all these thoughts and I was trying to sort out my will versus God's will. And I'd play, you know, roulette basically with the Bible or with the Lord. I'd shoot baskets, you know, if I make this one, this must be your will, God. Or I get on 390 and God, if this car gets off the exit, you know, this must be your will. But God speaks to us through his word, plain and simple. And he's not bipolar. He's not going to tell us to do something that's against his word. He's going to confirm things and tell us things, speak to our heart and confirm it in the word. You know, and I think the day we're living in is a day of distraction. You know, Jesus warned that the soil of the ground of our hearts, you know, one of the soils was sown among thorns or weeds. And he said that things grow up, those weeds grow up, they're the cares of this life, the desire for riches, and they choke out the word of God. And so often we're such a distracted people in America, everywhere, I guess. You know, I just was confessing today, Lord, especially this thing can be very distracting, or this thing can be very distracting, maybe not to you, but to me, that's distracting right now. Sometimes it's the TV, you know. Things are distracting, and they grab our attention, especially when God wants to speak to us, you know. So I think, I don't want to say too much. I want to leave some stuff for Jeff to say. But, you know, I thought about Moses as he was on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and God was speaking, and the mountain shook, and it quaked, and there was smoke and fire, and God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And sometimes that's how God speaks. It's very loud and clear. But for me, it's more like Elijah when he was in the cave and God was, you know, the mountain was shaking there. He's hiding, running from Jezebel. The mountain's shaking. There's an earthquake. There's all the same things, lightnings and thunder. And it says all those things, the earthquake and the lightnings and the thunder, God wasn't in them. And then it says a still small voice. And that's, you know, for me, so often how I hear the Lord, it's not this, it takes time to get still. You know, the psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God. And if you don't have a time where you can sit before the Lord, if you know, and we've all done it, have had, you know, grabbed a daily bread or something, and this is my time in your word, Lord, speak to me today, and then that's it, you're gone. And you're expecting God to speak to you in just a minute or two. When God wants you, the Bible says that, Hebrews says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And to actually sit before the Lord, and God, where am I at? You know, what do you have? What do you want to tell me today? Because everyone here needs to be encouraged, corrected, you know, all these different things. God's got something to tell you, and God's got something to tell me. But I think a lot of times we're not still enough. We're distracted. We've got all these things coming at us. Time, especially now, you know, it's great to see. It's sunny out there, and there's a lot of men here. You know, sometimes it's sunny out there, and that reflects on what comes in here. You know what I mean? And, here I am, but I don't have time for this or that. I don't have time to get in your word. And that's how God wants to speak to us, is out of his word. He'll minister to our hearts. He'll use other people, all those things. But God will confirm it in his word, you know. And it should line up. What God's telling you or putting on your heart will line up with his word. Pretty accurately. And I think diligence, I remember, and I'm going to let Jeff talk in a minute, maybe. I remember we were at a men's retreat at Rod Graham's, and we were all messing around, swimming, and he's right on the Genesee River. We camped. We did, you know, it was amazing. We all camped up there and put a tent up out there, had a port-a-john. We did baptisms. It was amazing, and we're wrestling around in the water. My brother is wrestling with me, who's twice my size, and I'm like, my ring is slipping off. It was a time when I lost a little bit of weight. You know, my ring, I can't get it off today, but, you know, it was a time when my ring was falling off. I'm like, I better tie this on my string and my shorts, and I'm tying it, and he shoves me, and the thing falls down in this deep turn in the river. I'm like, oh my goodness. He looks at me, what happened? I lost my ring. And Sean Gardner, we're all looking for an hour, but Sean just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it. And I remember looking, it was like Excalibur, the movie, if you ever saw that, you know, the guy comes out of the water with a sword. I see his hand come out of the water with a ring, and then his head pops up like 2.5 hours later. Like, we're all done looking. And he comes up out of the water with this ring, and it was like the Lord ministered to me. That's what it takes sometimes, to diligently, to let the world fade away and to be quiet before me and be diligently seek me, because I want to speak with you and I want to reward a diligent search of me, not just a 2-minute, oh, Lord, you know, speak to me. Here's, you know, Bible roulette. I'm going to open up the Bible and read one verse and hopefully, no, that didn't speak to me. I'm see you later, Lord. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God wants to meet with us. He's so faithful to do that. If we give him the time, if he wants to reward us, and that's the key, you know, is spending time with him.
Like Harley said, Samuel was probably about 12, maybe 14 years old, historians say. But his perspective, he was ministering unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days, and no open vision. We look at the fruit of what was taking place. God's presence was hindered. Divine revelation was hindered. His word getting through was hindered. He wasn't able to reveal himself. It's not that he didn't want to. Obviously, he wanted to. He was waiting for this young man to be born because he almost had to start with a whole new generation. But the word of God was very scarce. And it's the days that we're in today. I mean, there's a famine in the land, and I think even in a movement like ours, we've got to be careful that we don't become part of that famine. And, you know, what I mean by that is that, you know, we can read our Bibles, we can come to church, we can listen to the message, but he said the famine would be for the hearing of the word of the Lord. And that means that there would actually, the eardrum would become a dam that would never allow it to get into the heart. And I think our eardrums really should be a propeller to drive this into our heart, to make the changes in our life that need to be changed and to make us and mold us more like Jesus Christ, because he has so much that he wants to communicate. Just as Harley was talking, man, I was just looking over you guys a little bit, just thinking how much the Lord loves you, how much the Lord loves me, and how much revelation, how much insight, how much he wants his word to get through into our lives. But the word was very rare. And people didn't have an ear to hear. We're going to see that. Samuel does. We're going to see that. But the days that we're in today, I mean, people look at our ministry and you know, we hear things, you know, I mean, we've been here. We used to be the young people's church. Now we're not that anymore. You know, we've been here since 03. But there was no secret ingredient to this happening. It was honor Jesus Christ and teach the word of Jesus Christ and watch what God will do. And that's what we've seen him do. That's what we've seen him do in the lives of you guys that are here. But the days that we're in right now, unfortunately, and we need to pray because people don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear biblical truth. They want their ears tickered. I mean, I was talking to my kids the other night. We're doing devotions out on the porch. You know, we finally had a decent day, and I got the kids outside of the house, and we're in Titus chapter 2, and he was telling Titus, you know, teach sound doctrine, you know, because sound doctrine produces sound living. And it's so important for us to recognize that we've been given a counsel of God and to really take opportunity. But what was going on here? Unfortunately, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. They were turning their back on God, bottom line. They might have still been going to public worship, but they were turning their backs on God. They might have been going through the exterior motions, but on the inside, they were just doing what was right in their own eyes. The corruption was in the leadership, obviously, Hophni and Phinehas. They were stealing from people, sexual immorality right there at the place of worship, and the hearts and the actions of God's people were hindering his presence and his revelation from taking place. So we see what's happening. We see the spiritual climate here, and a lot of what we're seeing here in the physical realm is a reality of what was taking place spiritually, because verse 2 says, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place that his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. So his vision was diminishing. And I believe it really was a physical picture of a spiritual thing that had been taking place in Eli's life. And I'm seeing it in many people's lives today that they're losing sight of what God has called them to. They're losing sight of original vision, the things that God had spoken into their life. You know, when all of a sudden, early on, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter. Whatever he says goes. And this is the way I'm going to live my life. And then little by little, we start to maybe allow compromises in. And then all of a sudden, we find out that, wow, years ago I had this vision, but now my life's over here living this way. What in the world happened? And I think it's real important for us to make sure that when we look at our lives and when we think about the remaining time we have left here on the earth, how much of it has eternal substance to it? We got too many people that have been born again by the Holy Spirit, by the blood shed by Jesus Christ, that are chasing their dreams and not chasing the will of God. And I think that's what was happening in these days that we're living here. In Eli's vision, it was diminishing. And he wasn't seeing the way that he once did. He wasn't doing maybe what he had committed to. But I think it's important for you and I. I just was thinking about this scripture that I love. Paul says this, "While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen, those are the things that are eternal." So we're living in a temporal world, but we need eternal eyesight. And we need to ask ourselves truly, is the vision that I have in my life, is it laced with Scripture? Is my marriage laced with Scripture? Is the raising of my children laced with Scripture? Is my service to God, or maybe what I'm called to do, is it laced with the Scripture? Am I seeing things through an eternal lens? Do I see others through an eternal lens? Do I go about my day really with the Word of God as a lens of how I look through my life? Because it's very easy to lose vision. And that's what was happening with Eli. I have people come in for premarital counseling. They want to get counseling, man. And they're willing and they're doing all the right things. And then unfortunately, like maybe 5 years later, the same people come in. And there's problems now. And the reason was is because that vision wasn't held on to and it wasn't followed through on. Here's the bottom line with God's plan. It ain't broke. We got to stay with it. We got to stay with the visions that God's given to our lives, generally, scripturally, congregationally, and personally. Whatever God's spoken in your life, don't let anything stand in the way of it. Unfortunately, that's what happened with Eli. It says about Moses at the end, you know, his natural face wasn't abated. He didn't lose vision. Moses still had strong vision at the end of his life, 120 years old, you know. Think of another man in the New Testament, a man by the name of Demas, right? Fellow servant with Paul, serving right alongside Paul, man, in the battle, right? And then Paul says, I don't know what happened. Demas forsook me, loving his present life. He lost vision. All of a sudden, you know what he started to do? The exact opposite of what Paul said to do. You know, he started looking at the things that are eternal and wasn't looking anymore at the things that are temporal. It's really important is the people of God that we're staying close to the scripture and we're allowing this to form the way that we view life, our worldview, the way we view ourselves and the vision that we have for the rest of our life, that it'll be laced with eternal substance.
It's worded there that the word of the Lord was rare and there was no open vision, because the word of God and vision go hand in hand. You want vision for your parenting. You want vision for your marriage. You want vision for to be an employee or an employer or whatever it is. It needs to come from the word of God. And Solomon said, without a vision, people are going to perish. And Paul said in Romans 12 that to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before you were born again, you were being conformed to this world. You were exactly like everybody else, just going with the flow and going to hell. And Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how do you do that? It's by having your mind renewed. And you're not going to renew it with CNN or Fox News or Facebook. That's not going to renew your mind. It's not going to be watching football, and not that those things are bad at all. They're not necessarily bad. They can be, but you're only going to have your mind renewed in the Word of God. You're only going to be able to have renewed vision. That's, you know, it's good for, you know, if you can get away for a Saturday, for an afternoon, for a time, and just, you know, if you feel like you've lost vision, lost touch, Lord, wow, man, I felt like last year or last month or I was closer to you. Where am I? To take time to go meet with them and say, renew, refresh my vision. I need new vision and I need new strength to walk in that vision, to be who you've called me to be. And that's what this nation had lost. The spiritual leadership had lost sight, and the nation spiritually had lost sight. And they're just doing whatever they wanted, you know. And if you lose sight at home, spiritual sight at home, your kids could, you know, very easily. We're examples in our home. So we got to be careful of that. And it says, are we on verse 3? Mm-hmm. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down to sleep. So the lamp of God, it was supposed to have oil in it, and the priest was supposed to maintain that oil and keep it full and keep it lit from evening till morning. And it just shows the spiritual state of Eli and physical condition too, that he just kind of let it go out, you know. Just, and sometimes it's so easy for us to just, because the devil wants you to give up and say, you know, what's the use? What's the sense? You know, look at my kids. And probably Eli was thinking that. Look at my kids. Look at my family. How can I ever turn from this? What's the sense, God? Why even try? And so that's what he was doing. He let the lamp go out. You know what? Who cares? I know it's my job, it's my duty, but I'm going to let it go. And unfortunately, it reflected on this whole life, you know. And never say, you know what? What's the sense? Because God can do anything today. You know, his mercies are new every morning. You can read whatever you want.
Yeah, and the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. The ark representing the presence of God. But, you know, New Testament teaching, we're the temple of God. you know, and we're the ones that are supposed to be lit. And it's us who are actually lit, like Harley said, it was the priest's job to make sure that they had pure olive oil to keep this lamp burning all night long in the darkness, okay? And for us now, we recognize that we're the temple of the Lord, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that what fuels us now, our lives, to produce that light is the Holy Spirit. He's that pure oil. That's why Paul said we need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, because God, through our life, wants to produce light. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." You know, he wants us to be out there illuminating biblical truth. There should be something different about us. This time of the year, man, the fireflies are out. Take the kids out now. I'm at a point now where probably only one or two will go out with me. But, you know, you catch those fireflies. They're easy to catch. Why? Because they shine and they stand out in the dark backdrop. And I'm telling you, we live in a dark spiritual backdrop right now. And it is an easy time for Christians to stand out in the environment in which we are living. But we're never going to stand out. And our lamp can go out also. Our testimony can go also. Our impact can go out also. If we don't keep that lamp filled, if we don't keep our temple filled, we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment. We need a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit moving through our lives. We need to ask Him. We need to invite Him. Jesus said, "How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Because God's design for you and I is that we would stand out as His people. And that being that light, that we would bring glory to our Father who's in heaven. And it says here that, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." So look at verse 4. Eli's line was disconnected. You know, it's only a matter of time. I mean, God's going to speak into our lives, and He's going to keep speaking into our lives. But if we don't answer, God's going to still carry on His plan, but He's going to recognize that our line's disconnected from anything that He wants to do in our lives, and He's going to put that call into someone else. And this is what He's doing now for Samuel. Here's a young man at this age, not even saved yet, but God sees the potential in him. He recognizes what He's going to accomplish with this young man's life, and He puts the call into him, and He says, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here am I. You called me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lay down." And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel rose up, went to Eli. He said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Go lay down." So Eli might be getting a little irritated right now. This kid keeps waking him up. I got a kid that wakes me up every night. It's quite irritating. That's just a side note. But verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." You see, it says he didn't know the Lord yet. Okay, this was like God was grooming him for His purposes. I don't know if you guys can think about it, but before I met Jesus Christ, there was different things that God was doing to call me to Him. You know, I had people witness to me at work. You know, when I worked construction, I had probably 5 faithful witnesses trying to share the gospel of Jesus with me. You know, I didn't know the Lord yet, but that was God trying to speak into my life because He saw what He wanted to do with my life. I think it was the same thing with Samuel here. He didn't know the Lord yet, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him, but boy, he was gonna. And the difference between Samuel and the rest of the guys in the temple, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but Hophni and Phinehas just flat out didn't know the Lord. They were sons of Belial. So he's hearing this voice. He thinks it's Eli's. He goes running to Eli's, but it's not Eli's. I know you had a couple thoughts on that.
I just, amazing. Samuel is didn't have great examples to follow, but he's still serving the Lord. Even when no one else was, he kept serving. You know, he was serving the Lord, even though Hophni and Phinehas were bad examples. Eli was probably a bad example. and he served, and he was pretty faithful, like Jeff said. You know, I was thinking about that, him waking up, you know, when we've got a little baby at our house right now that we're fostering, and when that little guy cries, I'm like, Leah, I hope you hear this, you know, because I don't want to wake up. But every time he hears the voice and he thinks it's actually Eli, you know, every time he hears it, he jumps right up. You know, what do you want? What can I do for you? How can I, you know, I don't know if you guys do that at night when, if your wife wants something to drink or something to, you know, a Tylenol, or every time, you know, maybe you do. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, can't you get it yourself? You know, and when Carter cries, I'm like, oh, hon, you got him this time or whatever. You know what I mean? And but every time he's up, you know, what a servant. And I think those are the people God wants to use. I remember hearing a pastor say, I would rather have somebody underqualified that will listen and learn than somebody overqualified that thinks they know everything already, you know, that you know, they will not listen. They become old wineskins, and you can't teach them or tell them anything, you know. And Samuel here just wants to listen. What do you want? What do you want me to do? What can, you know? And every time we go through things like that, you know, this is simple for Samuel, but it's all preparation for God being able to minister and speak to him and use him. You know, it's everything we go through in this life, the hard things you're going through, the tough things, it's ministry prep. It's prep. God is refining you and changing you and molding you. And for Samuel, I think it was, you know, it wasn't very difficult for him to get up. You know, he just jumped right up. You know, what can, you know, here I am, you know, reporting for duty. And what was amazing, the Eli, I think they had, Eli and Samuel had a pretty good relationship. And for some reason, he mistook God's voice for Eli's, you know, the tone and the content, how he spoke to him. And I just thought about that for ourselves, you know, how we speak to people, how we talk to people, the content, the tone. Would somebody mistake our voice for God's voice? Man, that's encouraging. That's helpful. Or is it sharp, harsh words? You know, is it, you know, how do we talk to people? How do we respond when somebody asks us to wake up in the middle of the night or to do something for us? So he just like, what do you want? I'm here. So, and then it says in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he rose and went to Eli here, and he said, here I am, for you did call me. You know, I stayed awake this time, and I heard you. You called me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his same place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And I think Eli's probably looking back to maybe the heart he had when he first started the ministry. You know, I know if that's the Lord, Samuel, here's what you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Because I used to say that to him myself, but I don't anymore. You know, probably regretting who he has become and wishing he was who he used to be. And he gives great advice, but he doesn't take it himself. You know, just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears, you know. And unfortunately, Eli's ears are closed to the truth. And I think I just wanted to say this quickly, and I'll give it to Jeff. I think hearing God's voice, our ears are linked to our will and our heart. You'll hear God's voice if you're willing to say, speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. But, you know, Jesus, when he wrote the churches in Revelation, you know, he wrote a big, long letter, some commendation and some correction. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Now, he's writing to people that are going to church, 7 different churches in Asia, and every single person had ears, right? But it didn't mean everyone was listening, because our ears are connected to our heart and our will. And we're not going to hear God's voice if we're not willing to listen to what he says. We're not going to hear him call us and tell us to do something if we're not willing to say, I'm ready to listen. And Samuel was ready to listen. He was used to listening to Eli. He was used to submitting to someone above him and saying, here I am. Use my life. Take my life. So it was very easy for him to say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I'm listening. And I wonder if we're listening to God, if we're willing to say, if God says, hey, I want you to change this in your life. You're doing too much of this, or you're focused too much on this, or you need to do this as a husband, or you need to do this as a father. Are we willing to change, or are we thinking, yeah, I'm fine? You know, maybe that's why we can't hear God's voice. You know, you can sit in the Word, and God's already spoken to you and told you what he wants, you know, and if you hear him, he's just going to reiterate what he's already told you, maybe. But it's connected. We don't want to become old wineskins where we can't change and we can't listen and we can't be obedient to what God's telling us.
I love this account. And if you tie it in with what Harley just said, you know, the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, most Bible scholars believe they represent, you know, the whole span of church history from the apostolic church in Ephesus to the end days church in Laodicea, and each one of them ended with this, you know, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And when I think about that and I think about this chapter, we serve a God that wants to communicate with us. That's the bottom line. And the question is not, does God want to speak? The question is anybody willing to listen? I think that's the question. And we see here with Samuel, Samuel has an ear to hear what the Lord's going to speak. And I think we're going to see a big contrast and a big difference between these two individuals. And I think Samuel is such a good example to us because I've shared this before. You know, we have the ability to be a thermostat or a thermometer. And I think Eli was a thermometer. He was just totally controlled by his environment. What the environment was what he was. And, you know, he was wishy-washy at this time, spiritually weak, wiped out, lost vision, all that. But Samuel was more like a thermostat. And Samuel was going to show up on the scene, and he was going to control the environment for God. God was going to use him to change the spiritual climate of the day in which he lived. And it all started with him having a heart that said, you speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Those are terms of submission. Lord is a term of submission. Servant is a term of submission. And that word hears, you know, that's a choice. That's a decision and a choice that needs to be made within. But I'll tell you, we have such an opportunity because we've been given a whole counsel of God's word. We got a God that wants to communicate with us. And I have no idea where I would be if it was not for the voice of God. Obviously, God speaks to us through the scripture, like Harley said. You know, order my steps by thy word, Lord. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And, you know, I think it's so important that we get this into our hearts. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against thee. Because when we bury these truths into us, we can extract these truths from us when we find ourselves in certain situations where we need them and where God can speak to us and give us wisdom or direction in the daily instances that we come across. And the Bible tells us this in Hebrews, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So we recognize that God speaks to us through the scriptures. But I'm going to tell you what, there's also that still small voice of God. And that still small voice of God has met me in situations in my life where I have just needed to hear from him. And I'm, you know, he might not have given me anything that was like Psalm, this chapter, this verse, but he would give me a biblical principle and precept that lined up 100% in harmony with his word to meet me in the moment that I was at the time. God has transformed my mindsets in times with his still small voice. He spoke a scripture into my heart, in my chicken coop, when I was going through a difficult season of my life, that is a scripture that I'm going to hold on to till the day I die. And not just hold on to, but try to live by it. And it was just his still, so I didn't have a Bible. It wasn't like, oh, I just read that scripture, that touched me. No, it wasn't that. It was the still small voice of God speaking to me in the situation that I was in. He spoke to my heart, Simmons Road, spoke to me in my lawn, walking around my backyard, in my grandfather's cabin, still small voice. Many of those in my bedroom, men's retreats. You know, these things, I mean, things that were transforming for me because he's looking to communicate with us. And I think the sad thing is we don't ever want to become like Eli and say this. Look at someone and say, I remember when God used to speak to me like that. We don't ever want that to happen. We want to keep that flow of divine revelation keep coming into our heart because we have an ear to hear. You know, the other day I told you 70 degrees, man. It was gorgeous out, and I had like 1 hour to get done like 9 things that probably were going to take me 4 hours. And I was going by my deck. My deck was also got the furniture out on the deck. You know, it was a comfortable day. And this thought came into my mind in the midst of my chaotic chores. Just grab your Bible and sit down and sit with the Lord and enjoy this beautiful day. So I just hit the pause button. I went and grabbed my Bible, sat out on my deck, and just got so blessed out of the Psalms for about, you know, 15, 20 minutes till one of my kids absolutely ruined it for me. But, you know, it was a good moment in the time, you know. But, you know, we just got to seize those opportunities because God's looking to speak, and he's looking to get our attention. And he's not just speaking when we're, he's speaking when we're doing this. But it's not just when we're doing this, you know. It's when this thing is 15 feet from us, 20 feet, when it's in our car, our office, and we're out dealing with people. We're at the grocery store. He's speaking into our hearts. He might remind us of things in there, or he might just totally meet you where you're at with something that lines up in, oops, lines up in, a little Pentecostal, lines up in harmony with what this has to say into our lives, you know? So be in tune. I think the thing is, there used to be a Christian radio station years ago when I first started walking with the Lord, man. You couldn't tune that stinking thing in. You know, I had J. Vernon McGee on it, and I wanted to hear it. And it was so, you had to work real hard to dial it in because there was so much frequencies around it creating so much noise that you couldn't hear it. And I think that's the way it is with God's voice. It's a still small voice. Now, all of us can hear the roaring lion's voice very well. Father of lies speaks very loudly. He's easy to hear. Comes with condemnation, discouragement, fatalistic counsel, and just speaking things that are hard. But, you know, the still small voice of God takes us as his people really tuning into it, hearing through the noise. The noise ain't going to quit. We've got to learn how to hear through the noise. And then it says that, and Eli said to Samuel, go lay down. It shall be if he call thee. You shall speak. You shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his path. You know, to me, this was like one of the last highlights of Eli. Gave him great counsel. You know, there's so many times people come to me, they've asked for counsel or wisdom on a situation, and I'm just like, you know, just ask God. I don't know. I got no idea. You know, you got to ask the Lord. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. And the Lord said, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I've spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And unfortunately, God already sent a faithful prophet to speak to Eli. Eli did nothing with it. God had already personally spoken to Eli, and Eli did nothing with it. So now God's using Samuel, I believe, to bring this message of judgment against Eli as a ramification of his choices. And I think he's teaching Samuel at a very young age that Samuel, you know, unfortunately, you don't want to go the path of Eli, because what a man sows is what a man's going to reap. And he gives Samuel this message of judgment that he's got to share. We're going to see him share it with him. I don't know if we're going to get to it this week. Yeah, we're kind of winding up. But it's going to be a message of judgment and a message of harsh truth. And those are hard messages to deliver to people. They're very hard, you know. But unfortunately, this is what was going on in Eli's house. This is what was going on in Eli's life. And I think we need to recognize, we'll probably break there because verse 13 would be a good place to pick up next week. But I think it's very important that if God's trying to get your attention with something, you better listen. You better listen. If God is speaking to you and you won't listen, he loves you enough to maybe send someone to confirm that message. You know, and a lot of times I feel like if God has me share something with someone, it's got to be really strong in my heart. I don't pull those thus saith the Lord's or anything with people. But I feel like, you know, God, if this is really something that you want me to share with someone, then you've already told them anyhow. And I think that, you know, this guy came as a confirmation to what God had been speaking. And now it's too late. These guys have crossed the line, man. There's no return. And now, unfortunately, we're going to see this family reap. And you know what God's doing? He's cleaning the temple out because they refuse to get clean before God. So he's got to clean them right out, and he's going to start fresh with Samuel. And God will do that. And, you know, we live in a day today where there's a lot of mainline denominations that used to be spot on, man, honoring God. And, you know, they got off. Compromise, sin, whatever it might be, pride. And then all of a sudden, you know, God can't use that avenue anymore, and that place where he once worked starts to wither up. And then all of a sudden God's got to arise somebody else. I mean, I consider myself really blessed and privileged to be saved around the time that the Calvary Chapel movement was big in this area. Because at the time I was saved and I was going to a denominational church, and no offense against them, but man, I was dying. I was withering up. I was drying up, man. I wasn't getting fed this thing inside and out, upside down, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is what we need. We don't live by bread alone, by bread only, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, unfortunately, Eli wouldn't listen. I think if there's a couple of things we could extract from this, it is that God is speaking. Who's listening? And we don't want to go the way of Eli. And we look at Samuel, a man who was used to change the direction of a nation and bring revival by bringing people to repentance. You know, he said, you know what? I got one mission in this life, is to honor God regardless if anybody else is. That's what I'm going to do. And God says, you know what? I'm going to use that man, and I'm going to work through that man's life to touch other people's lives so that other people might honor him. So Samuel's very encouraging. I always pray that God would raise up Samuels out of our ministry, you know, the Sunday schools or Gilead school or whatever, man, because America needs a Samuel, and we're going to see him do a great work. But I know last week you guys did a little prayer thing afterwards, right, Dana? Did you guys do a little prayer thing? We're going to do that, man. We got 10 minutes, just 10 minutes or so. If anybody has anything to pray about, feel free. You don't have to. Don't feel like you have to by any means. You can pray privately, but I think that'd be a good way just to close out. So if anything's on your heart, anything you want to pray about or the message or anything like that, feel free just to put it about 7, 8, 10 minutes from now.